The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gau Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gau Media station.
Yeah, and my understanding, Tom, is the Houston Texans have been talking in the NFL for that week or a little bit more to try to get to talk to Eric Bieniemy earlier than they were previously allowed. Remember, they should, as you mentioned, not be able to talk to him for at least another week. They wanted to talk to him earlier in the NFL. Agreed and created this little loophole or new rule where they are now allowed to do interviews like this today, which is good for Eric Bieniemy. And this is, I know the Texans do have real and legitimate interest in him.
Sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, we do. And there were four really interesting games this weekend, and all anybody wants to talk about is the Texans. Let's do it. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
Diabolical.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart, Aaron freaking Raybould, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, send a message, you're good to go. Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show, you know the number for that. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. It's a Monday, fun weekend. Hopefully everybody enjoyed it. Hopefully everybody made a little money and watched some football and had some good alcohol. What's happening, Hoffman?
Sports and stuff. What's happening with you, Bubba?
Mostly sports. How was your weekend?
It was long. I spent most of it in the hospital with my dad, who's having surgery as we speak. My last day from home, though. I'll be back in the saddle in there with you tomorrow. And Eric Warner from Carbach will be in tomorrow instead of today. He didn't want to hang out with just the two of you dopes.
Yeah, I figured.
So he said, "Let's wait till tomorrow, where I can actually have someone worth a damn in there with me, and I'll come visit."
He just wanted to have somebody uglier than him in here.
That's what he was looking for. Yeah. That's what he was looking for. Yeah.
So that'll be great. But hopefully he comes through the surgery okay, and
thank you, sir.
And that all goes well because. I know Team Blitz is rooting for him, so
I appreciate it, man.
So I spent the weekend camping and not really roughing it because
let's stop calling that camping, please.
It really isn't.
Sweet Jesus. I mean, you had a TV. I mean, that's not camping.
Well, I gotta give the wife credit because you know how she loves to buy all these weird gadgets like robot things that clean up and stuff like that. She bought this thing for the TV where we could plug the iPad into it.
Uh-huh.
So like everything we get from home now I can get on the TV in the rig. And so we watched all the football and Netflix and everything else when it was cold outside, which it was for a little bit. And then, just had a fun weekend out in nature. I have two things to say, and then we'll get on to the important stuff. First off, people who camp are like the nicest people in the world.
Were you around other people?
Well, they're not close. You know, it's like
this wasn't on your property.
No. This was at Martin Dyes State Park, which is
okay. The I thought thing you went out to your say. Property.
No, we're building on that now. But
I thought maybe there was squatters out there.
No, but there may be. I don't know. I haven't been out there in a few weeks. But I've always said Huntsville's my favorite state park. I think I'm changing that because this place has a walking or hiking trail that is as beautiful as I've seen in the state. And of course, I forgot my phone, so I have no photos. But if you're out there and you decide to go camping, you have to go do the Island Trail. It is incredible. So it was a great weekend. Didn't drink much, believe it or not, but watched a lot of football and a little college basketball. Watched those Cougs win and just kind of enjoyed the outdoors, but it was outdoors and then like real comfort inside. So, you know how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a big basketball game tonight. Your Baylor Bears taking on the Kansas Jayhawks. In a top 10 battle, Freddie.
Yeah, that's that'll be two big ones in a row for Baylor because they had the Tech game on Saturday, which I got to watch a little bit of. Man, this is an exciting time for college basketball, and I want to get to that at some point on the show today. But, man, I get back, and all I see is the national media on and on about Deshaun Watson again. And they finally get to interview Eric Bieniemy, which I think we heard at the top from Schefter, but I think that's a good thing. That was Rappaport. Oh, okay. I get dorky Twitter guys confused. My bad. But yeah, I mean, I'm glad they're getting to interview him. Sounds like from what I hear over there, they all really like him. And the way the coaching thing is falling, if they want this guy, they're going to get him. Because
unless the Eagles want him.
Yeah, yeah. I still think the Eagles are a better job, but you know, I do. You know, it's kind of fallen almost in their laps if they want this guy.
Or he tells them thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, but
I mean, consider this: like, who were the when we came into this season? Who did we assume? Let's just go with like the top five. Who were the top five coaching candidates coming into this season?
Well, Bienemy.
Well, he was one of them, certainly.
Salo, I think, was another one.
I agree.
Daboll wasn't, but he certainly gained steam.
I think he was one of the top five.
What, going in?
Yeah. Not going into the season, going into the offseason.
Oh, going to the offseason? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like if you said 1 month ago who were the top the candidates, I think that it was probably Eric Bieniemy was on it. Brian Daboll was on it. I think you were right that Robert Saleh was on that list. I guess Arthur Smith probably made that list at some point.
Maybe Matt Eberflus.
And Matt Eberflus was going to be my fifth one. And that's probably like who the top five were. If everything works out, you know, I mean, unless something changes, like only one of those guys has gotten a job so far.
Right. And only only one more is probably getting a job.
And we didn't even realize that Doug Peterson wasn't going to have a job.
Right.
So what we do know is at one or more of Daboll, Doug Peterson, Matt Eberflus, and Eric Bieniemy will be without a head coaching job next year. And I don't think a lot of people would have thought that.
Yeah, especially with seven openings. But it's...
Yeah, and the Lions hire is a bit of a surprise. The Chargers hire is a bit of a surprise. The Jags hire was a bit of a surprise. But it just – and I don't have an answer for why. I mean, I keep hearing – like the Bieniemy, I keep hearing he must be a terrible interview. I don't know.
See, I'm not hearing that. I hear he interviews just fine. It's
– The NFL's just racist?
I don't know if it's – it's hard to find another reason because people start picking – well, he doesn't call plays. He doesn't do this. Well, you know, neither did Doug Peterson,
right.
and Matt Nagy called plays 1 year when they were struggling, and Andy Reid turned it over to him, and it turned things around. So I don't know, but I hope I winds up being the guy whether you know they keep Deshaun Watson or not, and not because they're trying to appease him, but I mean I'm surprised that he will have interviewed with all seven teams in the end, and if you don't get a job, that's surprising. And
it's telling.
If you look at each team individually, you could say, all right, well, Urban Meyer, that's a, you're going for a grand slam there. That's fine.
Yes.
The Rams guy was getting a lot of run late. He maybe not at the beginning of the playoffs, but later on, they're like, yeah, this guy's ready for a job.
Yeah.
Saleh, I get. Matt Campbell? I mean, yeah. And no disrespect, he may be a good coach. I know he's been an interim coach, but he's also not a play caller.
No.
And, you know, I mean, maybe he's learned from Sean Payton. That's great, but that's just an odd one to me. And, you know, Arthur Smith, okay, but I'd rather have some of that Chiefs offense and some of that Titans offense, but that's just
certainly.
Me. So, I don't know, man. I just think it's very odd, and, you know, everything that I've heard about people who know Bieniemy is he's a sharp dude. He's smart. He handles himself well. And now maybe that doesn't translate to interviews, but maybe that's just an excuse. And I don't want to say it's because of racism, because there are guys getting jobs that, I mean, there's a lot of guys interviewing for jobs, not a lot of them getting them. But the thing is, I think most of these teams make up their mind and are already on to somebody else, and you have to go in and blow them away and change their mind. And that doesn't mean you interview poorly. It just means you didn't go in and blow them away. And it feels like that with most of these jobs.
Well, let's start with this. What we do know is that, so far anyway, Nick Caserio has been a positive to the Texans as far as their coaching search, because since he's been here, they've gone from having not even requested an interview with Bieniemy to getting one. They went from Matt Eberflus saying thanks but no thanks to him taking an interview. So I think now that there is a force in place, and I know a lot of people aren't happy with Casario, and my big beef with Casario was that it seemed like an Easterby hire, which I don't like.
Right.
But I think Nick Casario in general is going to be a good thing for this team in the long term. It'd be nice if he didn't have to have Jack Easterby stink on him, but that's part of the game, I suppose. But I would say that you're seeing more progress now than you were seeing before they had a GM in place, certainly. And that's the way it should be. None of these interviews should have even happened before there was a GM in place, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. And that's what was so weird about it. And I do feel like, and again, I talked to a lot of people about Nick Casario after the hire because I was against it because it just seemed like same old, same old.
Yeah.
And almost the consensus is this guy's really respected around the league. He has a lot of great contacts. And I think suddenly that's why a guy like Matt Eberflus is like, yeah, you know what? I'll interview there. Is because there's an adult in the room now. Now he's got a big mess to clean up, apparently. But I feel like until he does something stupid, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. And the fact that he's able to get a guy to interview that wasn't going to interview in the first place, I think is a good sign. Now all this other stuff, the whole Deshaun thing, which, my goodness, the national media has just put their teeth in this, and it's, you know, reports and rumors and everything else. So the guy still hasn't said anything. Until he comes out and says, I want out of here, then, you know, I mean, and I read that SI article over the weekend about, and I am not going to defend Jack Easterby. I don't know Jack Easterby from this microphone.
Right.
But there was nothing new in there. I mean, it was the same old stuff that they harped on before. They just kind of did a whole chronological thing of it, which way too long, by the way. The only new thing was that, Watson wants out. Well, where did that come from? And, you know, so much of this, and then people run with it and create other stuff. Maybe he does. But until I hear that from him, then I'm going to take all this with a grain of salt. And if he does want out, then from what I understand, Miami's willing to give him whatever the hell they want for him, which, well, you know what I want for him.
Yeah.
So. But we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the games. Not great games, but a lot of interesting stuff to come out of it, including Pat Mahomes with a concussion.
That's a big question comes out of it, certainly.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm sure they're going to try to rush him back. But I got to say, as a Bills fan, you ought to be excited because even if he plays, how many times have we seen quarterbacks come back from concussions too soon and play like garbage?
Plenty.
So we'll talk about that and a lot of other stuff. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I don't know how I could explain that in a cooler and more doper fashion.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Wednesday, Thursday, you'll get a real good sense that he's in the clear at that point and that they can move ahead and begin plans and preparations as if he will be there. It is a five-step process. He will need to be cleared by an independent neurologist. But assuming all that happens, I would think they'll have a pretty good idea of that Wednesday or Thursday.
And we're back on the Blitz, and that was Patrick Mahomes. And Texter says, Fred, you think not saying anything when it's as bad as the move, the whole until he says thing is definitely not the way to look at this. Well, first of all, thank you for telling me how I should think about it. I appreciate that. But here's the problem with this, okay? And this is society. This is Twitter. This is disrespected players. Everybody reports on rumors. Everybody runs with rumors or, I know a guy who said this. And I'm sorry, but I'm not going to fall into the trap of saying, that must be what's going on. You know, the reality is you can solve a lot of problems by sitting down and talking. And if they sit down and talk and they hire the coach he wants and they show him a real plan to build this team, then this is a reasonable guy. We're not talking about James Harden here. So, you know, you can look at it however you want. You can listen to the rumors and say, he definitely wants out. We should be worried. And that's fine. That's your choice. My choice is to say, you know what? I'm not going to fall into this trap that that we've become in a society where rumors and secondhand stuff becomes reports. Reports become facts before they ever happen. And sometimes, yeah, that winds up happening. But listen, I don't think Cal McNair is a smart guy at all. But I think he's hired a smart guy. And I'm going to give him the opportunity to work it out before I start saying, oh, he's gone. Now, if he is gone, I got a trade, and I'll be happy to send him to Miami. And I would do that anyway. I'm not going to lie, because I think this is a 2 to 3 year process. And if it's going to be that, why not just blow it up and totally reload? And I honestly would be fine with that. But you know what? I also think here's my other issue is that this whole, oh, he feels so disrespected. Guys, get over that. Disrespect. I mean, that is eighth grade stuff, man. And I know he's only 25, but, you know, sit down with somebody, work it out. And if you sit down and he says the same stuff and you still feel like I just can't play for this guy, then you do that. But I also think that, you know, Deshaun needs to, you know, get himself in there and have a conversation. And if he still feels that way, quit letting other people speak for him. But yeah, please don't tell me how I should look at it. But, you know, let's just not, let's be real careful with buying into third party said this. Is that fair?
Yeah.
So anyway, you just need to talk to Nick. That's all it is. Talk to Nick. But I'm curious where you stand on that, because I mean, the whole world is reporting on it, but it's all based on the same somebody says he wants out things.
Yeah, it's hard to get a feel for anything until Deshaun comes out and says something, which is kind of a frustration for me that he hasn't come out and said anything. You would think by now, like, it's time to stop quoting lyrics to songs, stop being vague. Like, if something's really going to – and I get that I know that he is aware that if he comes out and says, I want to trade, there's really no turning back from that. That's right. The point of no return. So, and I understand that he respects that, so maybe he's being careful to see what goes on. But it is something that it feels like, man, it'd just be nice to know what's going on here.
Well, and that's the problem. And that's the problem with the Twitter world, and that's the problem with sports right now, is that everybody is forced to try and interpret cryptic tweets and interpret everything that comes out after somebody actually speaks. And, you know, it's like, now I'm looking at ESPN sources. Watson may have played last game with Texans. Okay, is that coming from his agent?
J.J. Watt, too.
Well, that one I kind of believe, that they're going.
J.J. hasn't said anything.
No, but it sounds like they're willing to appease him if he wants out.
Right, and but according fine. To what? One source, right?
I've actually gotten that from a couple people in the organization.
Okay.
So, I mean, that one I believe. But the Watson stuff, I think this is just everybody's interpreting and running with it and turning it into a monster that, you know, maybe it is the monster. But I don't think we're there yet, guys. I really don't. But, you know, Nick says, no way I'm trading Watson. Who else do they get at quarterback? Tua? No way. It wouldn't just be that. I mean, if you're talking about three first-round picks, plus Tua, who was a first-round pick. Let me just throw that out there.
Well, mind you, Fred is, you know, believes that three first-round picks is the starting point. I don't know that everyone thinks that.
Well, I'm I,
you're
I,
not
I,
the GM.
No, but I'm also going with. I was told the Dolphins would be willing to pay almost anything, and you'd have to for a trade like this. Has to be a Herschel Walker trade.
Okay.
And so if you get all that, then forget this stuff going on. I would just do it. But that's just me. I know the fans don't want the guy to go, and I hope he stays. Look, I like the guy. I don't really like how he's handling this, but you know, that's all right. He's he's a kid.
Yeah.
And you know, you see all these other athletes acting like, you know, they control everything, and some of them do. And so you run with that. I never blamed him for being mad, and I still don't blame him for being mad. But if he's not going to at least try to see what the organization has to say to appease him and just keep doing this stuff, then, yeah, go. Bye. I'm done with you. But that's, you know, hopefully that's not the case. You know, hopefully they'll sit down and work it out.
Yep.
And So let's get back to the
or not. I mean, at this point, yeah. I don't really care.
Yeah, I don't either. but it's not the end of the world if they wind up getting a ridiculous haul for the guy.
It's not, because here's what I do know. They had Deshaun Watson this year. Deshaun Watson played about as well as I could imagine him playing, and the team went 4-12. So would they have gone 0-16 if he didn't play? Maybe. I don't know.
I think they could have won a couple games with AJ McCarron.
Okay, is 2-14 really that much difference from 4-12? Not to me. No, you're still terrible. You're a laughing stock. At least this way, they'd get some pieces to build their future with. And you know, I'm not saying they should do it. I'm just saying at this point, if they did decide to do it, I would understand. And especially if Deshaun wants out, you don't want your best player, you don't want your star player, the guy that you're banking your future on, to not want to be here.
Yeah, and if that's the case, good luck. And you know what? If I'm the Dolphins and I think I'm a Super Bowl contender and I make that kind of deal, great, good for you. And if I'm the Texans and I get all that, good for them. And it's one of those I think would work for both of them. Let's take one quick call on this, and then I want to get to the Patrick Mahomes stuff. Mike, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Hello,
Mike. Sports.
Yeah, can you hear me good?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, listen, guys. I know you guys like to deal with facts and stuff, but I got a problem with the Deshaun situation. Oh, quick James Harden thing. Boy, it's funny how quickly you learn how to pass the ball around when he's not on the Houston Rockets team anymore. Now, I don't know who the hell that was, but it didn't look like Harden to me, because he sure was pass happy the other night. But anyway, that's enough of Harden. Be gone to be written. The thing with Deshaun is this, guys, and any other player of his caliber would have gotten the consideration in some of the decision-making that they have done. First of all, if you would have took Gronkowski or any of those receivers off the Patriots and then run that by Tom Brady, it would have been hell to pay. First of all, they wouldn't have did that. All right, you already don't have nobody, okay? And then you're going to take one of the best players that he's got and trade him and then run past him, okay? And then this other thing with the coach, this whole thing with the coach, he's the one that the coach got to deal with. He's the one, the leader of the team, you know? So he's the one going to take the flak on himself, but and yet they're not considering him.
Well, but also, I think comparing Deshaun Watson to Tom Brady may be a little off. I mean, Tom Brady has, you know, put more than a handful of Super Bowl rings on those guys' hands. That's a different conversation than a guy who's really put up some stats. That's basically what Deshaun Watson's done for this franchise, is put up some nice numbers. He won a playoff game. I mean, this is let's not go crazy about what the organization owes Deshaun Watson. They don't. And that's why, you know, was it the right move to trade DeAndre Hopkins? No, but should they have had to run it by their quarterback, who's on his rookie deal, to decide whether or not they were able to do it? No, because I don't think other quarterbacks in the league would have had any say. And most quarterbacks are going to say, I want to keep my guys. There's a handful of exceptions of guys who have enough clout to say something like that. I think Brady's one of them. I don't think Deshaun's on that level.
No, and like I said, let's give Nick a chance. We'll give Nick a chance to either work this out or not, you know, and hope there's an adult in the room. And somebody said, I had questions about Tua's arm in the NFL. At times he looked overmatched. The one thing I'm going to say in Tua's defense is, keep in mind, this is a guy coming off a serious injury with no camp, who was taking second team reps most of the season. I didn't expect much out of him this year. Didn't get much.
I don't think he was even expected to play this year.
No, I mean, the smart thing would have been to sit him for the whole year. But you know what? If he doesn't work out, you're going to have a high pick again next year. Guess what? All right, let's take a quick break. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This
is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Happy Monday. Hope everybody's having a great one. I think it's something I wanted to follow up on. We were talking about Twitch, and then I definitely want to talk about the Chiefs a little bit. But one problem I have in the world today is when people pile on somebody or take a subject and run with it, it gets out of hand. And again, I'm not in any way defending Jack Easterby, but I think the Easterby stuff, he's become the villain.
Yeah.
And there's really no way to get away from that at this point. And if you're him, the smart thing to do is resign, because the Texans fans never going to forgive him, because they don't. Now, if you'd cut Kareem Jackson after year one, you'd have looked pretty stupid. Not saying this is the same situation, but that's what happens. People turn into villains. And the same thing with this story. Everybody's running with it because it's sexy to talk about Deshaun Watson getting traded. But I think we all need to back up a little bit, because in the end, if the Texans don't want to trade him, they have to. They don't have to. All right, the Mahomes injury. First off, can I just say, not a dirty hit?
Agreed.
I don't know. That's another one where, it must have been a dirty hit because he got
no.
hurt.
No. That's a football play, and I mean, it sucks he got hurt. I don't think that was an intentional, injury situation.
He didn't look twist like his head or intentionally twist his head or anything like that. He got his arm up around his neck.
He tackled him.
Yeah, he could have. He could have twisted his neck if he wanted to, but he didn't. And I that's another thing that's kind of driving me nuts about society. If somebody gets injured, especially a quarterback, it had to be dirty.
Yeah.
It wasn't. It was just a football play. And even Patrick Mahomes said that. So, you know.
Patrick Mahomes' mom didn't say that.
No, but that's, sorry, mom. You've been watching your kid play football for years. He gets hit. Let's just snatch that bone right out of the dog's mouth.
Yep.
But I'm very concerned. Well, actually not, because I'd love to see the Bills go to the Super Bowl, because I picked them to go to the Super Bowl. But I would be very concerned if I'm Chiefs fan, because we've seen this a lot. Guys come back from concussions and they are not right. And especially this fast. I hope he is, because I want to see the Bills beat them, head to head, basically their best against the Chiefs' best, which I think they can do right now. If Mahomes is 100% healthy, I don't think they will, but I think they can. They're good enough. Their defense is getting better, and their offense is one of the few that can actually keep up with the Chiefs when the Chiefs are on their game. But, man, I just hope they don't rush him back. Because, which I'm sure they're going to. But, and Andy Reid said, if it were under old protocol, Mahomes probably comes back in the game. Yeah, I'm not a doctor. The way he got up from that did not look good. That's fine, but we're not under old protocols. So he's going to have to get through all that. And I'm sure he will. I'm sure they're going to find a way to make it happen. But I'll be surprised if he's 100%. And if he is, good, because I want to see a good game.
I would, too. To be honest, I don't care one way or the other if Mahomes plays or not. I'm not going to feel bad for them. The Bills a couple years ago, the first time they made the playoffs in forever, Tyrod Taylor was supposed to be the quarterback. He couldn't play. And I pretty much knew, Bills don't have much of a chance.
No,
sorry.
And they wound up losing to a Jacksonville team that they almost beat anyway.
They
did. Went to the AFC Championship.
Yep. But that's part of football, man. You're going to have guys injured. That's the breaks. Everybody deals with it every single year. So as far as I'd like to see them beat the best with the best, I don't care about that. I'm not going to feel bad for them one bit if they don't have Patrick Mahomes out there. Obviously I hope the dude's not hurt. I hope he's not, has any real injury or lasting effects. But, I'm not going to be one of these guys who's like, I'd feel bad if there's an asterisk, or I care less about that.
No, that's a game, man. And I think he'll play. I think they'll force him back. They're already trying to act like it wasn't a concussion. And, good for them.
Yep.
And assets, of course, a Bills fan would say that. I'm sure a Chiefs fan would say that if Josh Allen had the same situation.
Yeah, I mean, that's football, dude.
Yeah. Nobody cares. Nobody's going to feel sorry for you. I want to see it as a fan. Because I think the Bills can beat him anyway.
Someone said that about the Ohio State game. Oh, if Trey Sermon's not knocked out on the first play of the game, which, listen, Trey Sermon didn't fall on a banana peel, okay? He got knocked out of the game playing football. That happens in football. That's just – it's part of the game. Injuries are a part of the game. They always have been. It's a violent game, dude. It's one thing if it would have been like a dirty hit or a cheap shot that knocked him out. Maybe, you'd feel sorry for him. But he got hurt playing football. This happens. And if it were any other player, we wouldn't be, laser focused on this. But because it's the best player in football, everyone's freaking out about it. My guess is he's going to go out and play. Yeah. I think you're right. I think that they're going to try and get – now, do I think he'll be 100%? No. And that's why I think there's – I think there's value on the Bills as a dog. I think that right now you can find him at +3 pretty much everywhere. I think there might even be some 3.5s. I think Patrick Mahomes is probably a 7.5-point player. I think the look-ahead line was 3.5. So there's like a little bit of question boiled into the line that you're getting now is 3.5, 4 pretty much everywhere. So now you're seeing threes. I think if they said tomorrow Mahomes is out, he won't play, I think you might see the Bills be a 3.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I think it'll definitely flip. But I punched it at 3.5 last night. I punched it at 3.5.
So. But I got news. This Chiefs team, there's questions, okay? This
is not. And that's why. I like the Bills to cover 3.5, even if he plays and he's 100%.
This is not the juggernaut team that you saw last year. This team has some serious holes. And I get it. Yeah, they were beating up on the Browns before Mahomes got hurt. Well, the Browns suck, okay? The Browns probably didn't even belong in the playoffs. They got a win over a team that I didn't think very highly of anyway in Pittsburgh. And they still found a way to cover against the Chiefs. I just don't think much of that team, so I'm not acting like, the Chiefs got some big win here, even without Mahomes. That's a team they should have beat without Mahomes. I think the Bills are a different level of monster, and if you just look at the last dozen games that these two teams have played, you can't tell me the Chiefs are a better team over that portion of time. Now, if you go back to last year, and you start talking about what the Chiefs were a year ago, and there's still some of that mojo on them, it's a different story. I don't believe this team is the same team we saw last year. I think this team is much more vulnerable, and that's not me as a Bills fan. That's just me watching football games. The Bills have, in the last 12 games, the Bills are 11-1, their one loss being that Hail Mary against the Cardinals. So they lost that one of those 12 games on the last second they lost. Of those 11 wins, 9 of them are by double digits. Okay, this team is just running roughshod on teams. And even like last week on Sunday, they didn't play great, and they still ended up blowing out the Ravens. Their offense was meh, ho hum. So what happened? The defense showed up,
yep.
Basically took away Lamar Jackson, shut him down.
Huge pick. I mean that's. That's the thing about the Bills that's impressive to me, AJ, is they're finding different ways to win football games. And if the offense isn't there, then the defense – and that was a hell of a defensive performance. Let's give them some credit for that.
Well, and people want to go back to early in the season when the defense was bad. And the defense was bad. It was not good. But in the last half of the season, they've been a top-5 defense. So they flipped the switch there. And it's pretty obvious that in the AFC, there was one quarterback – who made the playoffs, who was going to be able to keep up with Patrick Mahomes if it got into a shootout, and that's Josh Allen, a guy who's probably going to finish, I would guess, probably third in the MVP voting behind Rodgers and Mahomes. So there's very few teams who match up like this. And really, if the Bills were able to get by, it was my concern, and it's why I was so pissed as a Bills fan that the Steelers lost, because to me, for the Bills, the scariest team left in the playoffs for the Bills was the Ravens, because they had three well above average, I'll even borderline say great cornerbacks, and they blitz and they've got guys who can cover when they're bringing linebackers or they're bringing safeties, and Josh Allen, like I said, didn't look great against them, but he got by them. I don't know what the Chiefs do. The Chiefs don't have the corners. They don't. Their number one corner isn't as good as the Ravens' third corner.
Right.
It is a different style of match. Defensively, I think the Chiefs are going to be in for some trouble. The Bills do not care about running the football. Everyone said, "Oh, if you can't run on the Chiefs, how are you going to make? If you can't control the ball, how are you going to beat the Bills?" Like the time of possession in the Colts game and the Ravens game, the Bills don't care about controlling the ball because they know every time they touch it, they've got a chance to score. So this is it creates a really fun, really good matchup, I think. And the Chiefs, if this game were last year's Chiefs, I would still think. I mean, assuming Mahomes plays, I wouldn't feel very good about the Bills' chances. That team last year was a juggernaut. This is not a juggernaut Chiefs team. I mean, it's easy to see. Well, they're 14-2, and they gave one of them away in the last week of the season. That's true. But they're eking by teams. This last year, they were blowing everybody out. That's not the case this year.
And let's not – I don't think we can dismiss how much they miss Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I mean, he was playing really well for them. He gave them basically something they don't have, which is a running threat. And he had made a huge difference for this team this year. And really, since he's been out, you can tell. They're not able to run the ball nearly as well. And he was also a threat out of the backfield catching the ball. So I think that's a difference between the first time these two teams played. And I just think the Bills have improved and are a better football team than they were the first time they played. And I like them to win this game. I really do. I think it's going to be a great game if Mahomes is right. But the Bills can score with them if they need to. And I think their defense is better than Kansas City's.
Well, and if you saw this week, what was the Bills' focus all week long was not letting Lamar Jackson run on them.
Right.
They said, you know what, you're not going to be allowed to do this. The Chiefs, you saw this week up until the injury, the Chiefs decided, okay, we're going to run Patrick Mahomes. They hadn't really done it all year, and it was smart not to because they were saving him for the playoffs. But we knew when they got to the playoffs – they'd open things up, and we'd probably see Patrick Mahomes running around a little bit.
Yeah, because they did that last year.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to – even if he plays, I don't think he'll be running. I don't think you're going to get a dual threat. I mean, between his ankle and the concussion, I don't think it's worth the risk to try to pick up 6 yards here and there by running Patrick Mahomes. I just don't see how that's a smart move. So the Bills are another team. Like you said, with no Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I don't think the Bills are afraid of Le'Veon Bell.
He didn't really do anything in that game.
Yeah.
It was mostly Darrell Williams.
I think it puts both those teams in a position where they're playing against a one-dimensional offense. And the difference being the Bills have made it clear all year long that they don't care if you think they're a one-dimensional offense. They're going to do their thing anyway. And they do have the threat of a quarterback taking off, more of a threat than Patrick Mahomes. Josh Allen's a significantly better runner than Patrick Mahomes, even when they're healthy. But Josh Allen's not dinged up. If Josh Allen wants to run, he's going to run. But I think that there's a lot of advantages for the Bills, and I don't think it's as night and day as people want to make it out to be, that the Chiefs are just – they're the team to beat in the AFC. A lot of people – a lot of Vegas power ratings, my power ratings, have this game pretty close. Yeah. I've got these teams about a point and a half apart in the power rankings. I don't think you can give a full 3 points for home field advantage. I think the Bills are very live. I think they can win this game. I don't know that they will. I think they absolutely can.
I agree. And like I said, I already bet them at +3.5 because I knew that number would come down if the Mahomes news was not good. So anyway, we'll take a couple calls. And when we come back, I want to talk about the team that might be the one that neither of these two teams can beat. Talk about that when we return after you tell them about TGS.
Yeah, I got to tell you guys about TGS Insurance. Listen, if you own your home, you want to save some money, a great way to do it is to look into your homeowner's insurance. See what you could be saving by switching to TGS Insurance. And guys, I didn't realize how much I was paying for homeowner's insurance at all until I texted the word money to 232323. TGS got back with me. They had already shopped my home. They knew. They've shopped all the homes in the area. They knew what I could be saving. And it ended up, I saved over $1,000 annually on my homeowner's insurance. It's crazy. So you could say that too. The average customer saving $900. Guy in our office saved $2,600 a year. $2,600 bucks. That's a crazy amount of money. every year that was just going to waste. TGS, they'll take care of the back end. They'll get you cleared out of your old policy. That's the deal. They're going to refund you the difference in what you've paid, prorated, and they're going to get you started saving money right away. So simple to do it. Text the word money to 232323. Start saving now with TGS Insurance.
South Beach, he told me this summer he going to fix my jumper. I told Boy Wonder that we might got a thumper. I've been trying to pop, now I'm on like Shump.
This is The Blitz.
Oh, that sounds great.
On ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-3776. Real quick, Texacojo says, any hockey place, Falcon? Maybe Vegas. I have one tonight. I already punched a ticket on. I'm 5-3 on hockey so far, and then, you know, everyone is made sure I know about the three losses, but Toronto, Winnipeg over 6, and since I just punched that ticket on my bookie, I'm guessing it's going to go to 6.5. So you may want to get on that. But my last over, they got a whopping 3 goals, and of course I got to hear about that too. And let's get a couple phone calls, and then I want to talk about the Packers, because that was the bet I missed this weekend. I hit the Browns +10. I missed the Rams +7. And that game was not even competitive. I think the Packers are playing at a really high level. We'll talk about that in a second, but let's get Martin on real quick. What's up, Martin?
Hey, sports fellas. Two questions, and the first one's me as a Saints fan, really, and it's probably wildly impossible, but Breeze is gone. I know our cap is down in hell. What are the chances that Moons can come up with like an enticing passage for Deshaun? And another question is kind of more for you, AJ. You've kind of been against Baker, and he has improved this season. I'm not going to say he took leaps like Josh Allen, but what are the chances, like, if he gets a full off season working with Stefanski and the same receivers and stuff like that, he can take another leap next year? I'll hang up and listen.
I'll answer the first one. You don't have the assets to even be in the ball game for it. So, sorry. And then AJ can answer the one for him.
I actually got knocked off the line, so I'm just back. I didn't hear the question.
I didn't either. I wasn't paying attention. Once he said it was for AJ, I quit paying attention.
He was talking about about what kind of strides Mayfield has made this year. And, yes, he isn't going to make a Josh Allen-type leap in quality of play, but a whole offseason with Stefanski and all his receivers being healthy this year, what kind of improvement can you expect to see between this season and next season?
I don't know what you guys think. I still don't think very highly of Baker Mayfield. I think his biggest issue is that the world crumbles down around him when you put pressure on him. You just can't trust that guy when there's a defense that can provide pressure. So I don't know. I mean, can he get that fixed? Maybe one day. But I don't trust him right now. I certainly don't see him making a Josh Allen type jump. I didn't see Josh Allen making a Josh Allen type jump. Yeah. That's a rare thing to go from being a middle of the road quarterback, you know, like which I think Josh Allen was last year, a middle of the road quarterback. I think that's probably what Baker Mayfield is now. He's probably slightly below average. I don't think he's in the top 16 quarterbacks in the league, Baker Mayfield, but for him to make that kind of Josh Allen jump would be surprising to me.
Agreed, but he didn't ask me, so who cares? Let's move on to what I want to talk about is that we don't. I don't think we talk enough about how good this Packers team is, and you know the Rams. That basically the Packers will have a quarter where they put up a bunch of points and put you away, and we've seen it almost the entire season, and they did that to them in the second quarter, and that was really where the game got out of hand. The Rams weren't coming back from that. We talked about what the Rams needed to do to win the football game, and that was to run the ball. And they got 90 yards out of Akers, but that wasn't going to be enough and possess the ball. But once the Packers got him down, that wasn't going to work. And it's not just that Aaron Rodgers is playing at maybe the best level that he's played at. They run the football well, too, when they need to. And Aaron Jones had a big game. And I think this team is going to be a very, very tough out for either the Bills or the Chiefs. And And well, certainly for the Bucks, I don't know that I give the Bucks much of a chance. But I've been
I wouldn't give the Bucks a chance. But God, the Bucks just dominated the Packers when they played this
year.
They
did. They did.
I mean, and I don't know if that means they've got the right recipe. What I do know, and as well as Aaron Jones has played, you're not running on the Bucks.
No,
you might as well forget it. So this is a game where, and now here's the other thing I'll say about the Bucks. I don't think they'll be the beneficiaries of three interceptions from Aaron Rodgers. I highly doubt that. Boy, poor Drew Brees. The noodle arm that we all talked about all year long, boy, it really showed up. He just could not get any zip on that ball.
He looked like the Peyton Manning in the Super Bowl that just knew where to put the ball, but he couldn't quite get it there. And it was almost sad to see. And I'm sure that's Ian for him. And if it's not, I don't see it getting better.
No.
So, but yeah, I think I was real impressed with the Packers. I think they were the most impressive team over the week. I mean, the Rams had a chance to get back in the game a couple times, and the Packers stepped up when they needed to. I'm intrigued by this Bucks Packers game because you're right. The Bucks had some kryptonite for them last time, but Aaron Rodgers threw three picks. That doesn't happen. I don't know that it'll happen again, although, again, maybe they just have the right scheme for him. But it'll also be in Green Bay, and I'm sure that weather will be a factor, and it'll make Kurt Warner mad if somebody doesn't win because it's cold. I don't know if you saw that knucklehead saying that all the playoff games should be played in domes, in neutral sites. So, yeah, says the guy who was on the greatest show on turf.
Yeah.
But, it
looks like Twitch thinks I'm like a super big homer with these Bills takes. All I'm doing is giving you reality. Like, look at the last 12 games that these teams have played. The Chiefs have won, like, you know, they've been winning games, certainly. Their average win is by about 6 points per game. The Bills in the last 12, their average win is by about 13 points per game. They're playing at a different level than the Chiefs right now. And it's not to say that. I mean, and maybe the Chiefs are just playing down to their competition. That's entirely possible. You wouldn't think that would be the case this week or this last week against the Browns, but they kind of did. The Browns covered again. The Chiefs aren't covering spreads, which means that they are not meeting expectations. And you can only play with fire like that for so long.
Yeah, and, you know, the reason I thought the Browns would cover, and by the way, listen, everybody's saying, they were a victim of that horrible rule with the fumble through the end. It's a horrible rule, but it's been a horrible rule for a long time. Don't fumble the damn ball in the end zone. Now, there might have been a helmet-to-helmet on that, too. But all that would have done was guaranteed the cover earlier. But everybody's saying, it's a travesty. No, that's the rule. It's a stupid rule, and I don't have a better one. I hate that rule, too, but I've been hating that rule for years. And I hated it at college. I hated the NFL. Nobody's given me an alternative yet other than, you just give them the ball back where they fumbled it, which I also don't think is necessarily a good answer. But don't fumble the ball through the end zone. Protect the damn ball. And even Stefanski said, we teach these guys not to reach out like that. But speaking of Stefanski, if you're a Browns fan, the way he handled the last 8 minutes of that game was just classic coach choke. Because when you get down there with 4 minutes left, you got to go for it on fourth down. You don't have enough time. You think, it's Chad Henne. We can stop him. Guess what? You didn't. And you gave them the ball back, and Andy Reid goes for it on fourth down. That's what a killer does. And I thought he mishandled that whole thing by going really slow at first. Because if you're going to do that and run the clock down because you don't want him to get the ball back, why are you giving the ball back on fourth down? It just doesn't make any sense to me. So if you're going to do that, you got to go for it on fourth. Because you give it to him with 4 minutes left.
Yeah, that's poor decision-making, poor coaching.
And that happens. I mean, they haven't been
there.
He's
a young coach. It is going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure if he had it to do over again, he'd do it differently. But you know what? You don't get it over. So 713-780-ESPN is the number, 713-780-3776. That's our number one in the books already.
Yeah, let me tell you guys about Allstate Windows and Siding. I can tell you from experience because they came out here to my place and they put in new windows, and boy, am I pleased with the results. Basically, they came in and they gave me an overview of their product, and you can do that virtually. You can do that in your house, but they'll show you the product. This is a made-in-Texas window built for the Texas weather. And they, if you say, this is what I want, okay, they're going to measure your windows. They're going to ask you what you want your windows shape to be. If you want big picture windows with a sliding glass on bottom, that's what my house did on the bottom floor. All the windows are huge on the top and tiny little sliding windows on the bottom. And it just gives you better views, better angles. And it's just beautiful. And the great thing is they seal it in so well that you're saving up to 40% on your electric bills. All the drafts from my old builder grade windows, all gone, my friends. It is a beautiful thing, and I couldn't be happier. They've got some great specials right now. You could save up to 20% on all window packages right now. Plus, there's veterans discounts, military discounts, first responder discounts, cash discounts, you name it. You want the best rate, call Allstate, 832-204-1936, or AllstateSidingAndWindows.com.
I'm a nightmare dressed like a daydream. So it's gonna be forever, or it's gonna go down in flames. You can tell me when it's over, if the high was worth the pain.
ESPN 97.5.